You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Jack, tell me a story.
You guys, welcome back to Tell Me on a Sunday. I'm so glad that you're back. You know what? We are gonna be okay. We are struggling. I originally had something else planned for this intro, and it just feels really out of touch to not actually talk about what's going on. But regardless, I'm really happy that you've got something nice to listen to, whether that's this podcast or a sick mix that you made yourself that maybe reminds you of 2004. When things were simple, when we wore low-rise jeans and tried not to talk about the fact that our gut was hanging out. I mean, it was a different time. But here we are. It's 2020. We're trapped inside. Not trapped in the closet. I'm so happy that you're joining me once again. Obviously, it's been really difficult because of COVID to crank out the right amount of content and also like to not be tone deaf to what's going on in the world. There's a lot of things that are at stake, but there's a lot of things that we should be supporting, which is mainly each other. And also knowing the difference in when to reach out and when to leave people the fuck alone. I think that we all have to strike that balance. But today my guest is someone that I've actually known since I moved to New York. Giuseppe Basilio is one of those kids that is now an adult that you may know him from like Newsies or if you watch like The Next Step. He is just a multi-hyphenate, incredible guy. And I'm so lucky that, you know, from a distance, I was like, this kid has so much spunk and so much heart. And I've just gotten to watch him kind of grow in this crazy way in New York City. And, you know him, you love him. I mean, he did Cats, Hello Dolly, Aladdin, literally he's, if you spit, he's been in that Broadway theater. If you, he's great. And he's a nice, nice boy. And I love his mom. So today we're releasing this on Mother's Day because we talk about his mom and I love her and all of the fearless women that are having to really, really try themselves as parents, as people, as wives, as, you know, whatever you want to call it. This Mother's Day hits really differently. And while I'm not, you know, interviewing a mother, I'm interviewing the product of a fantastic mother. So today this episode is dedicated to Sonia, and we love you. And here he is, Mr. Giuseppe Basilio.
Ray's Cling Show.
That's my maiden name, bitch. It's not my name anymore. you're fine.
To the Grace Gillespie Show.
I actually have to legally... Can you sit closer to me, possibly? Just because that's mine. Okay, so... I know, sorry. So here we have... Lil Giuseppe. I'll always call you Lil Giuseppe. I'll always think that you're like 16 years old. But you're not. Wait, how old are you now?
22.
You're such a baby. But you're not. You're like a full grown man. How old were you when you made your first, like, when you did your first professional production of anything?
Of anything at all? Mm-hmm. I was probably 4 or 5.
No, professional, like...
Right.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Like, I picture it... I was like, yeah, I was 4 or 5 when I did, like, a dinky production of the Three Little Pigs. But I, like, killed it, so it's the same as you. Yeah.
No, so it was Falstaff. It was an opera in Switzerland at the Royal Theater in Bern.
Were you born in Switzerland?
I was born and raised in Switzerland, Bern, Switzerland.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Mm.
Okay. I was born and raised in Switzerland. Moved here when I was... Well, moved to the States when I was 11.
Casual. Can you tell me a story of, like... Because I don't think that you've ever known anything else, actually, besides performing.
Not at all.
You don't have any...
I literally... I mean, I love to do, like, many different things. I would like to call myself, like, a Renaissance man of sorts. Just
name
I
a title to... of app Renaissance man. Just right.
No, I just know how to do like many a different things.
Okay.
But well, mm-hmm. but not like
besides one speaking, because I have right. to say this. I have to call this out because it's cuckoo crazy that you can speak how many languages?
Six? I can speak six. Yeah, technically six, but seven with a dialect if you.
Can you name them?
Yeah. Portuguese, Italian, French, English, German, Swiss, German, and Spanish.
I have trouble with English, and then he just taught me some pig Latin, but I'm not good at that either. And then I took Latin in high school, like a dingbat, and I was like, I'm going to be an attorney and use this. And it's like, no, I cheated off my ex-boyfriend. Cheated off his test. Thus, I cannot relate to you, but I think it's amazing that you can speak that many languages. Have you used them?
Oh, yeah. It's the best, actually. No, it's literally the best, especially yeah. when people don't know that you speak them languages.
Oh, mm-hmm. and then they're, like, talking mm-hmm. to someone, and you're like, oh, I
know yeah, what yeah, you're yeah. Or they're having, like, a full-on fight in another language, and you're like, whoa, this was all about just coffee. Like, it's fine.
I feel like that.
Actually, I was at the opera with my mom one day. Why am I at the opera so much?
First of all, the way you said that so casually, I was like, privilege. Like, it's just like, you're so cool. Anyways, but you were at the opera with
I was
mom.
At the opera, I think, watching Madame Butterfly. And there was this very old gentleman, Brazilian gentleman, and his very young wife / probably escort. Okay. And they were like having a full on fight and she was just ripping him apart and she was like gorgeous, but her mouth, the way these words just came out so viscerally at him.
Oh, wow.
It was awful.
You're like, this is a scene.
But yeah, no, literally. And so so my mom like turned around to me and she was like, Giuseppe, you're going to talk to me in German now. I was like, yes, good. And so that's what we did for the rest of the opera.
You would not give away that
yeah,
you...
Yeah, no, because
totally
that was like, yo. Because they were literally like, oh, you always, like, leave me in the hotel when you go out and work. And na-na-na, and you never leave me with any money to go shopping. And blah, blah.
Oh. Lord, God.
Whoa.
Also, the idea that you're watching an opera and listening to an opera is freaking funny. Like, just... Like, you're like, okay, so I'm taking notes, but all I can think about are the people behind me. It's bizarre.
Yeah.
Wait, do you go see operas a lot?
No. It was literally the one time I happened to work in an opera and the one time I happened to go see an opera.
Got it. Okay, cool. Cool, cool, cool. So you mentioned your mom, and I have to talk about your mom for a second because she's going to listen to this, yeah. I hope. Sonia, how would you describe your mom?
Really hardworking.
Yeah.
Crazy, because we all are. Mm-hmm. Artists in our family, we're just insane. And yeah, she's probably the hardest working woman I know. She moved from Brazil when she was like 21, 22 with $50 in her pocket and two bags to Switzerland.
Okay, first of all, is that not the beginning of Act Two of Annie? $3, two bags, one me? Like, hello, thank you. Love your work, Sonia. Not the same, but I feel it.
Right.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Wow. And she has a ballet studio in New York.
Yep, she has a ballet
That's
studio.
That's why you are the way you are. You know that, right?
Yeah.
Like you're so fucking good. Like, you're good on your own. Like, you know, you work on your technique and you know your body so well at this point. But, like, seeing her work with her students and her work with, like, my husband and, like, you, it's just, like, she knows her shit. Mm-hmm. Like, it's amazing to watch. But, like, I love how often... You're probably the person I see the most in Times Square. Even if I don't say hi to you. Like, I will pass you so much that I'm like, he's on his way to work. Like, I know he's on his way to work. Or I see you with the dog. Or I see you with your mom. So often. That cute freaking dog. Because you lived in Times Square for, like, a hot minute.
Yeah, I lived there for 7 years. I lived right on 48th and 8th at the Riz Plaza from the time I was, like... 14 till I was 19.
You were living in the hotel.
Not the Ritz Carlton.
Okay.
But the Ritz Plaza.
Plaza.
Yeah. Very, I can see the...
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you would say that, like, your hub is Hell's Kitchen.
That's literally what I know.
Do you have, like, 100%. A Hell's Kitchen story where you're like, this is my home?
Honestly, I know every crackhead on the street when I walk past them and they know me, it's pretty great.
You're like, that, this is my community.
I'm literally like, because like 43rd and 8th.
Yeah.
Like that was where the ballet school used to be.
Yes.
And
yes.
Literally that corner, now they're doing like construction and they're tearing down that whole building. That's why we had to move.
Oh, fair, fair.
But
fair.
Now it's become like even worse. I'll be walking into like Carve on 40, what is it? They have two locations, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. And so I know the owner, I know their son, their everybody who works there. And I'm like, yo, how's Fawad, man? How's he doing? He's doing good? Yeah, he's married now, back in, you know, yeah. I don't know where they're from.
Well, because I feel like a lot of people, like, especially like us, like we have this like southern upbringing of like small town. I have my understanding of what a community is. Everyone that comes to New York, if they're not born here, has an understanding of what their little community is, even if you lived in a big city. Mm. Your community is literally the, like, the biggest city. Like, it's the hub of the world.
Yeah.
Which is crazy. Like, yeah. Your understanding of life is like within, yeah, the Broadway community and like the Hell's Kitchen area.
Yeah.
I can't.
And what's crazy also is like, whenever I work at any theater, mm-hmm, and I'll just like walk past other theaters and I'll like say hi to the stage door guys and the stage door ladies and I'll be like, mm-hmm, what's up y'all? How you doing? Here's some donuts.
It's cool. Nice.
Yeah.
So it's like literally your idea of apartment hopping is when you jump from show to show.
Yeah.
That's your version of gypsy housing. Yeah. Which, by the way, we're not using that word in a negative way. Right. Yeah, no. I'm not checking you. I just mean like I just want to clarify that I'm whatever. Anyways, Damon's like, I don't give a fuck. Can you tell me a story about your Broadway debut? Because I think people always love to hear about Broadway debuts.
Oh my god. Yeah, I was 14. I was doing Billy Elliot. It was really cool. I don't think I remember much from that experience. I think I blocked a lot of it out.
Wow.
It was just so much. It was so much at such a young age. It was like I remember a lot of pieces, but literally some people will like bring up a crazy story, I'll mm-hmm be like, I don't remember that at all.
Wow.
That's insane.
Well, because when you're young, everything's just happening to you.
Right.
You're not like, oh, let me journal this, or like, let me record it. By the way, we didn't have the same phones we have now.
No.
So there's no Instagram story archive of the day that you did this.
Right.
So you probably have better stories from your family about what you were doing than you do in your brain.
Yeah. I don't really have a great, like, Broadway debut story. I just have, like, a funny, crazy, also relating back to, like, languages, English mix-up mm-hmm story. I was in rehearsal in Chicago. I think this might have been my, like, first rehearsal before I had my debut in Chicago. This was, like, my major company rehearsal. Mm-hmm. So everyone just had, like, the speech. They gathered everyone around. They're like, all right, who's playing what role? Everybody say their name. Blah, 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 blah. Julian Weber, he turns around to me and he's like, all right, Giuseppe, you ready? And I say, yes, put it in me. And the whole company bursts out laughing. I mean, there was no stopping. This laughed for a solid 5 minutes and I was just standing there like, what? What happened? And finally, like, 5 years later, someone came up to me and he was like, yo, remember when this happened? And I was like,
no.
Oh, man. I did remember. But at the time, I didn't know English. I didn't know what messed up. But when they brought it up 5 years later.
You knew.
I knew.
What were you trying to say? Put me on?
Like, let's go. I was just trying to say, like, yeah.
I mean, that is also what
that means. An exclamation that says.
Put it in me also means let's go.
It does.
Just
it really
so
does.
Like, we're aware.
It really does.
Yeah. Feel free to use that anecdote anytime you're on a date. just be like, hey, girl. Remember that one time I was 14? I made my Broadway debut. Honestly, full disclosure, it's the best thing you could possibly do. Because you jump from show to show all the time. Like, no offense, but I never feel bad for you. And I love you so much, but I've never been like, I hope Giuseppe's okay. because literally, I'll just turn my head and I'll be like, oh, he's in a different playbill. Good for him. You're so, but that's
that's it's a testament to like how hard you work. You're fantastic. You're great to work with. You're a sweet guy. Can you tell me a story? Because I don't know if this has ever happened to you, but can you tell me a story of when like you've gone from one show to the next and you're like, I just learned this, or like I'm having to learn something new, but this is still in my body from the last thing I did. Like, you jump from thing to thing. Can you tell me a story of like having to learn something new all the time?
Absolutely. Yeah. I have a couple of those. Even just last week.
Okay.
Actually, 3 days ago.
Okay.
I was literally just jumping from like, let's say, the Hamilton Company in Chicago to the Hamilton Company on Broadway. There's like so many major like details that are just so different, and so there's like little details that are like from here. Nope. Hand turns down, palms down. You know what I mean? Like whatever the detail is. But yeah, that's just, you know, rehearsals and continuity and whatnot. But what's a crazy story that I have is I was in Billy Elliot again. I was moving from the touring company to Broadway.
Mm-hmm.
Finally.
Yeah.
About to make my Broadway debut. I'm in rehearsal for 3 days. The touring company just got settled in Denver, Colorado. Actually, they were in Denver, Colorado, about to move to Dallas. Every Billy got sick. One had bronchitis. The other had, like, a foot or knee issue to where they, like, had to be off.
Mm-hmm.
And the other guy was, like, getting over a cold / getting another one.
Mm-hmm.
Always kind of sick. But it's fine.
that guy, we don't talk anyway, about that.
We don't know which ones those are.
Thomas was a fuck-up.
Right.
No,
but, so they literally, after 3 days of rehearsal, intense rehearsal, they were like, all right, great, so forget everything you just learned. We're gonna send you back out on the tour so that we have extra coverage, and hopefully in 2 weeks, you can come back.
Oh, how old were you?
Great. I was 13.
Oh my gosh. So you're like, okay, for sure.
Like, all right, great. And they literally gave me the call during rehearsal.
Wow.
Like, all right. Cool. Someone just erase everything.
I think people don't realize, because even now, just you saying that like Chicago and New York were different about Hamilton, people don't realize that there is a difference in the tour and a Broadway company.
Massive difference, especially in Billy Elliot, because the touring company didn't have any of the groundwork like coming up. So on Broadway, we had the house structure and whatnot came out of the ground and just came like all the way up.
Mm-hmm.
On tour, they brought everything out from the sides.
Right, because they had to be able to move it, right?
Yeah, on Broadway, I had literally a 15-second window to get from stage left all the way downstairs into my bed, change clothes, literally a 15-second window. It was insane. And then, we're coming up.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's bizarre, because I think that people go, well, if it's on tour, it's not as good as Broadway. First of all, go phone yourself. That's not true. But the difference is...
Because the shows also aren't going to make the mistake of casting people who aren't going to represent the show well.
Right.
Most of the time, hopefully.
Yeah.
Right. You know.
No, right. I get it.
But,
yeah.
So,
everyone has their own,
is, like,
right.
Even touring companies can sometimes be better than long-running Broadway companies because shit gets tired.
It's that. It's also like, what if someone who's absolutely incredible, like Christy Altimore, I saw her in Spring Awakening on the tour. And I was like, this girl is gonna be. And like, it was years before I saw her on Broadway.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, yeah, you are always fantastic. Like, it's not just because you're seeing a tour doesn't mean you're seeing a lesser version of a thing.
Exactly.
So, like, shut up. Like, really, just shit on everyone today. I don't know what I just had like a cup of broth that's very spicy. I got the spicy Nona. Maybe I'm spicy Nona. Name of Ep, spicy Nona. Brought to you by Brodo. It's my favorite place in the world. Tell me.
Also, did you put your broth in a coffee cup?
Okay, first of all, let me explain to you what Brodo is.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. All right.
Because you need to know. You deserve to know. I'm doing this for the people. So Brodo is a broth place in the West Village. They just, as I heard while I was in there, they've added a fifth location. First of all, didn't even know they had two. Okay, Brodo, glow up. Anyways, I've been going there for years. They make broth and they put all these like funky ingredients in it. And you take it to go, so it's literally like you're holding coffee, but really, it's just spicy, delicious broth. And I like it because I also look like a cool person. Like, I don't drink coffee, so I'm always very self-conscious of the fact that I'm always, like, slurping a water bottle or something. Right. Like, everyone's, like, with their coffee cup, like, pinky out, like, hand folded over the thing. This is how freaking, like, bizarre I am. I'm just like, I wish I were a cool person with a coffee cup. And then when I was like, oh, I can have broth in my hand and no one will know. God, brought to you by Brodo.
That's amazing. Well, now everyone knows your secret.
They know my secret, and also, but I...
But also, you don't
Full really disclosure,
care.
I own equity in the company, so that's what this is about. I love them so much.
Hashtag
but,
Brodo.
Hashtag Brodo. Fuck, we talked about Brodo too long. Damon, cut all of this.
I gotta take a second and tell y'all about my personal training coaches, Steve and Rachel Payne, at House of Payne. I've been doing their workout programs, let's say 3 years, and they shape bodies. And yes, they prepare people to compete in bodybuilding shows, which some of it's your jam, it's not my jam. What I love about them is that they understand the look that I want. Tone, fit, something that's sustainable for my lifestyle. They create a custom individual plan that includes my workouts, my cardio, and my nutrition. I do their online program, but when I'm in Atlanta, I do one-on-one training with them at their facility, and it kicks my ass. They FaceTime me whenever I have questions, alter my plan when needed, and no matter what stage you want to step on, competition, career, lifestyle, a red carpet, wedding, whatever it is, House of Payne personal training is the most personal training you can get. Visit their website, trainwithpayne, T-R-A-I-N with P-A-Y-N-E.com for more details.
Can you tell me a story? Because even though we hate telling these stories, I think that we find catharsis in them. Can you tell me a story of when you thought you'd get something and didn't?
Ooh, thousands of times. Oh my God. I think any actor can attest to this, because mm-hmm. you show up to an audition, you're so ready, you're killing it, you prepared, you did all the work, and then nothing.
Yeah.
And I think that's just like, there's nothing you can do about that. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. There's so many factors that go into casting, like an actor or anything for that matter.
It has nothing to do with you.
Right, right. Yeah. I mean, sometimes, you know, you show up and you don't have anything prepared and you're just like, it happens. Mm-hmm. It absolutely happens. Mm-hmm. You try not to let it happen, but it happens.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know. Mm-hmm.
So do you have a time where that happened and you were like, oh, I thought this was my thing?
Yes.
Do you feel comfortable telling?
I guess, super simple thing. I walked in for, what was his name? Associate director for Newsies?
Richie.
Okay.
Ricky Hines.
Ricky, yeah, there we go, Ricky Hines. Wonderful dude, amazing. This was like when I was like 18, probably. Mm-hmm. I walked in for Saturday Night Fever at the Algonquin. He was like directing and choreographing. Mm-hmm. And I walked in and I was like, I got this in the bag. It's a dance call. You know, I'm feeling confident. Mm-hmm. It's Saturday Night Fever. I'm going to walk up in here with the fever. Oh my God. And I didn't hear anything. After the actually no worse I got cut after the first run. I was like, cool,
yeah,
thanks Ricky,
yeah,
shout out
to Richard J. Hines,
right?
I you know, but it's so funny because yeah, you are like really freaking good and you can do all the things, but sometimes it's like, oh, I wasn't warmed up, or I wasn't right for this, or I didn't partner well, or whatever it is. Like, it doesn't have to be, like, I suck, you know? But no, it's okay.
And you also sort of can, like, tell... Usually you can sort of tell, like, in the room if you're doing well or not. Like, mm-hmm. there's, like, general rules as an actor, I guess. You know, you walk in, and if they make you do it, like, two or more times... Usually that means they're interested. If they make you just do it once,
yeah,
and they say thank you, either you're a legend or you got cut.
Yeah.
So it's either or. But usually you can like kind of tell if they're like, all right, so you know, let's try it this way this time, and then they make you do it a third time, and then they make you do it a fourth time, and they're like, all right, so cool, it was really nice to meet you. And you're like, oh, all right.
Nice.
Nice, yeah.
I feel like the best casting directors like want to get the most out of it. Mm. Like, they've called you in. They already, you know, it's like, okay, well, can I see them do it this way, this way? Okay, you know what? Maybe that's not for them at all, but I at least saw them do it all the ways that I wanted to see it.
Right.
When people don't even take the time to do that, I'm just like, what are you doing in this business? Like, why are you doing this at all?
What's crazy, I think, is that it's most of the times when you absolutely hated an audition or you think it went horribly wrong,
mm-hmm.
most of the times you sort of nailed it. You, like, got it. And
yeah.
you're like, oh, wait, that's crazy. Or, like, situational. I'm
right.
talking specifically about mm-hmm. This one audition I walked into for Dead Man Down, which I ended up getting. It was a movie with Colin Farrell and... lady's name. Whoops. Anyway.
Another woman. Yeah.
It was a cool experience though. I walked into the casting room and I shook the reader's hand who brought me into the room, and then I went over to shake the casting director's hand and she's like, I don't shake hands, sit down.
Oh.
I damn near shat my pants in that moment. I was like, oh, I'm done.
Yeah.
But then she made me do it 4 times. And literally the next day I got a call on my birthday and I was like,
aww.
Yo, this is awesome.
That's really cool. So
yeah.
Wait, you filmed this?
Yeah. I ended up filming it. I mean, I was literally on screen for like 2 seconds. I was the lead teenager in sunglasses. I like told the girl who to put a bag over her head so we would hook up with her because she was so ugly and like had scars on her face.
The
yeah.
way you're describing this is not selling me on this movie.
I know.
And it's
know.
Horrifying me, but
well,
I will
yeah.
watch it. So
yeah.
That's really funny.
Yeah.
I love that though because like, yeah, sometimes people just don't want to be touched and it freaks us very like, kind, like
affectionate
people to be like, oh, they hated me. And it's
mm-hmm.
like, no, maybe they're just sick. Like,
yeah.
maybe they
yeah.
just don't want to touch me right now.
Yeah.
It's fine.
It's actually just to elaborate on that.
Yeah.
Like, I was reading this body language book, the definitive book on body language.
Mm-hmm.
And it was talking about how, like, even just geographically, different people have so much, like, different proximity, like,
yes.
what do you call it? Proximity, distance, management, whatever
yes.
you want to
no,
call it.
No, it is proximity, yeah. Because...
So it's like farmer, like people in like farmer land, they're like way far away and they'll wave at you and that's plenty. You know what I mean?
Right.
In Italy, they're up in your face and touching you and
so
grabbing
close.
You and they're like, oh my God, come here, what are you, you know? Like,
yeah.
So it's just different.
It
so
is.
So if an Italian meets an American farmer. Ooh.
Two people that, you know what? Star-crossed lovers, write the musical. Write the musical. You choreograph. I will watch the reading and I will clap. You won.
Duh. Amazing.
It's Aida. Damon, shut the fuck up with Aida. I swear to God, they announced that they're going to do the fucking revival and he's like, okay, so like Aida. And I'm like, oh, you're so into Aida now? Bullshit, you're so into Aida. You're a liar. I've never heard it. I've heard like clips, and I heard Sherry Renee Scott is fantastic. But at the same time, I don't know Heather Headley the way you know Heather Headley because she was on the radio. And I digress. Anyways, can't wait to see you in Aida. Is what I'm trying
to
say.
It's gonna be great.
You're gonna
I can't
be
wait
fantastic.
To play Aida.
I'm going to play Aida. Aida's
coming to Broadway 2021.
2021.
I don't know if that's true, but...
You know what? I think Adam Pascal could still come back. So, can you tell me a story of a time where you were like... Well, you kind of did just now, but I want to hear another one. Of when you were like, I'm not getting this. Like, there's no way that I'm getting this. And then you got it. And then you were like, oh, I have to do this.
Oh, man. Yeah, that was... I mean, that was, like, the biggest I'm not getting this moment.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't really. I've been pretty good at judging if I got it or not.
Wow.
Well,
because this has been your job since you were a kid.
Yeah.
This is like something that you full like you know this.
Yeah.
Game.
But it's also I only learned this pretty late after the start of my career. I think I'm 18 is pretty young, but when you've been doing it for 7 years, you'd expect to know.
Yeah.
The fact that the second you walk in that room, when you walk out, there's nothing you can do.
Mm-hmm.
And that would eat me alive when I was younger.
Aww.
It would literally eat me alive. I would walk in and I would walk out and I'd be like contacting my agent all the time. And I'd be like, so, have you heard anything? Is it something? You know? And, it just doesn't work out like that. You
yeah.
gotta walk in and walk out and completely forget it ever happened. And
mm-hmm.
you, and actually... Ben Fankhauser told me something incredible that I will cherish to this day. as long as I live. He said, Giuseppe, auditioning is your job. If you get a job from auditions, that's a bonus on your paycheck. After that, my whole world changed. I was able to just walk in and, like, you know, do what I had to do and then walk out and be like, great, on to the next one. Let's go.
Aww.
Yeah.
Yeah, it kind of helps you kind of have closure.
So thanks,
Ben.
I appreciate you, bro.
He is good at singing. Yes. He should do that all the time.
He should literally never stop singing. That's unbelievable.
I think that I was physically, emotionally, and maybe menstrually changed when he... Poor guy's head. And when he does, I'm like, you, sir, change the game. I don't know what it is. But, like, I would just replay that clip over and over and over again. And because there were all these, like, weird newsy videos, like, from Playbill. Do you remember those?
Yep.
They were great.
I'm on there.
Stop. Okay, really?
Yep.
Okay, well, we will roll that tape on this for sure.
I think I'm on there because they did a version of like all the covers who covered Davey and who sang that. And I just remember myself being like during the show just like freaking out. I went on for Davey one time.
Wait, did you really?
I went on once and it was the best experience of my life. It was super fun except for at the end. I literally okay. Jack and Kelly are kiss. Jack and Kelly. Wait. Wait a minute. I'm
Catherine.
Thank you. Wow.
Hey, were you in your face?
Was I? I don't know anymore.
You need to cut it.
No. Jack and Catherine.
Mm-hmm.
They are kissing at the end of the show and are making out. And the line that breaks. There was vamping underneath the music. The line that breaks them up is, "Hey, Jack. So you in or you out?" And they're making out, and I'm standing there, and everyone's starting to look at me, and I'm looking around, and I'm like, what? What? Oh, hey, Jack! You in or you out?
This Davey likes to watch.
Mm-hmm.
This Davey in the corner being like, yeah, you guys keep
going. I think the show went over, like, by a minute that day.
I actually was, like, in the audience for a couple of... Because it was at the end of the run was when Damon was in it. So I got to see a couple of... I know, like, you guys were both, like, killing it. But there was...
Way back.
Do you remember this story? Because I can't tell it as well as probably someone that was on stage. But I was in the audience for the beginning of the show. Well, the whole show. But it was the part where Elmer, he had a funny line. He messed up. Do you know what I'm saying? This was so stinking cute. And also Corey Cott, saving the day. I'll never forget meeting him because he was absolutely fresh fresh. I know. Okay, so like, can you tell the story?
Yeah, I don't remember exactly what he said. What I do remember though is after he said what he said, it was during the curdled coffee right before that.
Yeah.
Do you remember the line?
Okay, Damon, come into
yeah,
play.
Yeah, thank you. Please do.
Producer Damon is sitting in on this whole sesh because he loves Giuseppe emotionally and physically. But yeah, he's also just got home. Can you tell this story quickly?
Yes, so we were... It's the nuns come up and they've already sang their stuff and they're like, Elmer, when are we going to see you and sell you the church? And
also, thanks for that quick bro. Like, hello.
Beautiful.
And Evan Kasperzak... just didn't remember his line at all.
Coen Brothers, Evan Kasperzak, just stood there. God bless him.
The line is actually, he goes, "I don't know, sister, but it's bound to rain sooner or later." And
as in, it's bound to rain sooner or later. That's when I'll come inside the church.
That's right.
I just want to be clear about what's happening.
And Evan goes,
like open mouth, just looks up at these women,
and then says, "That's a good question."
And
that, what you hear right now, is exactly the noise that Corey Cott made.
Elmer's, like, someone's arm is wrapped around Corey, and Corey's standing there, dead-ass center, being like, "The show is closing, my life's in shambles, I don't know," he's not really thinking that, but he's just, like, he just loses it.
Yeah, and everyone on stage, I remember everyone turning around so quickly, everyone's now just backs to the audience, and they're just, like, giggling up and down, shoulders, just shimmy-shake shoulders going up and down.
Yeah.
It was so funny. God damn.
I loved seeing... you guys do that show to the end, because I think that there's a lot of, like, Broadway fans that see the last I was gonna say the last episode, the last, like, you know, installment of a show when it's on the end of its run, and they talk about how special it is, and then I was like, okay, like, weird flex, like, you guys have a lot of feelings, and then I went, and then I was like, oh, I get it. Mm-hmm. Like, there's something so beautiful about seeing, like, you guys were such a family, like, even if you all weren't best friends or, like, really, really, really close on stage, mm-hmm. and, like, the it just looked like so much fun, and everybody was having a good time, and it was just like, oh, this is nice to see. It was a very positive first experience to watch me be with somebody that was in that show, but also to experience from, like, just coming to New York, and then everything after that, I was like, oh, I wish they were all like that.
Yeah.
Like, I wish they were all like that kind of fam.
Yeah. And I think that was also, I mean, part of the appeal of the show. It was just, like, you know, such camaraderie, and it was such a, like, beautiful story being told of, like, the underdog winning, and everyone loves a story like that.
But also, like, the fact that the fan base knew the names of the ensemble members, and I'm talking, like, their character
every
names.
Every single
like,
one of us.
Race, like, Buttons, da-da-da-da-da-da. And I was like, how does that happen? Mm. That doesn't happen in other shows.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm.
Like, what was your... When you were driving the train in Hello, Dolly, what was your character name? Did you make one up?
I made one up. I think my name was, like, Maxwell.
Imagine if Maxwell had a trading card.
Yeah.
Like, that's what Newsies was.
Right, literally. Yeah. That's exactly what it was.
Yeah. I remember there was, like, an app, because I was... Full disclosure, I actually can tell you this, because I don't really talk to any of the other ones. I was, like... very into Newsies, like, as a, like, a fan girl person. Not to the extent that I think that other people were. Like, I didn't have a Tumblr, like, chillax. But...
For the record, Damon is making a beautiful face
right now. I'm not... Okay, but I did like it. So when he was like, I'm gonna audition, I was like, okay. I was like, okay, sure. Like, you're not like them. Like, they're good. Like, Thane Jasperson, like, you wish.
Mm.
And so... When he got it, I was like, oh, shit, he's, like, really good at dancing. So when he got it, I got to go to the twins. I don't know if you were there. I don't think you were at the Taco Tony night. And it was the night of the Tonys. What year was this? Like, 2014, I think. And we were at their houses. And I had been following David and Jacob Guzman for, like, years on Instagram because of Newsies and all these things. And I was like... I've got to unfollow them so that they don't know that I've been following them.
Oh, no.
Like, that's a thing. It doesn't exist, by the way. Like,
right.
no one can backlog when you liked their photo in 2012. Like, no one can do that. And if you do, you're weird. And stop. Just
yeah.
So then I unfollowed everyone that was at that party so that I could then follow as if I just organically met them. Congratulations on, like...
How...
Because I was so self-conscious of being like, they're going to know that I like this shit. Like, they're going to smell it on me. I'm a fancy. And then it was totally fine. And they were all really sweet. But yeah, I had to conceal that for sure. Can you tell me a story of doing a show with somebody that you didn't expect to absolutely adore? Like, because you just did Hello, Dolly with, like, Bette Midler. You've done all these shows with certain people. Is that who you're going to say?
Speaking of, Bette Midler, she was phenomenal and fantastic also as a human being. And I literally brought her, we had just moved into our house here in Jersey. And it was the first time I had, like, a garden to play with. And so I decided to plant a bunch of stuff. And
wow.
I have a pretty green thumb. And I grew a bunch of cherry tomatoes, and I brought her a little box of cherry tomatoes, and the next day she brought back a huge bag with just, like, groceries filled from her farm upstate. Just, like, she had a cantaloupe in there, she had, like, eggplants, just, like, a bunch of stuff, just, like, so good, and they were so rich. It was awesome.
So you're telling me she has a farm?
She has a full-on farm. Upstate New York, like...
Bette Midler.
A farm.
Has a farm.
Right.
Okay. Oh,
Bette Midler. Oh, no, that's not.
That's
okay.
That's your next show.
That's cute. But the person I was like, wow, you are wonderful, was David Hyde Pierce.
Really?
Literally
wonderful.
Like, such a kind human being. He'll still, like, text me sometimes on my birthday and be like, happy birthday, Giuseppe, thinking about you, you know. I'm like, wow, this man literally showed up for my surprise birthday party, David Hyde Pierce. Mm-hmm. My mom organized this whole thing. Yes. And just like reached out to one of the ensemble cast members and was like, hey, can you get like some people to like come to the ballet studio after the show?
Right.
And a lot of people showed up and I was like, this is so nice. And David Hyde Pierce shows up and like gave me a $100 bill and was like, happy birthday, Giuseppe. And I was like, what?
Like, literally, he did not
Dollar
have to
Friday,
do that. Yeah, Dollar Friday.
He'd throw in $100
bill
every time.
Actually, can you tell what Dollar Friday is?
Yeah, absolutely. So Dollar Friday, sometimes also referred to as Dollar Sunday, depending on the day. everyone in the theater puts in like a dollar or however much money you want into a bucket, but you write your name on a bucket. Mm-hmm. Some people do it with like tickets. I like the dollar version, like the writing on the dollar, just because it feels so
it's fun.
Real. Yeah, yeah, it's fun. And so at intermission... one of the stage managers usually will just like reach in and grab one of the dollars out and you win the whole bucket if it's your dollar.
Mm.
So that's Dollar Friday / Sunday.
That's fun.
Yeah.
Have you ever won?
I won second place.
Okay.
Once, and it was awesome. It was like $70. I was like,
okay.
Ah,
yeah.
That's a lot.
That's a lot.
And then I won, this bag, actually, my Hamilton bag.
Aww.
From that as well. They just had like extra merch and they were like, we're auctioning, not auctioning, we're raffling these off.
Yeah.
Like, great.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Do you have like, I mean, you can't really name favorites because you're like still in this world and you're young and like, you know what I mean? Like, it's not, your career's not over unless you want it to be, in which case I can ruin it very fast. Can you tell me a story of, like, one of your favorite experiences working with, like, a director, choreographer, whatever?
Yo, working with Andy Blankenbuehler was dope.
Really?
I'm not gonna lie. Like, that was so cool. And he was, like, he was just a really cool dude. As a human, he's just, like... And he gets this, like, look in his eye
mm-hmm.
when he's, like, creating or thinking about something. And everyone, like, the whole room just goes quiet. And he's just, like, looking into space in front of him. And you can just tell that he's, like, seeing everything play out in front of him. Like, he can see it in his mind, like, what he wants to do and, like, who he wants to place where. And he'll just, like, stand there for a second. And then he'll be like, all right, this is what we're going to do. Blah, 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 and just, like, get it all done. And I'm like,
wow.
Yo, it's incredible. And also, like, him as a human, he's just so kind. And his family's beautiful, too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Goddamn, they're beautiful.
Yeah.
Like, just the whole thing.
I know. That's really... So did you get to work with him when you were doing Chicago, Hamilton?
No. I don't think... during Cats.
Oh, it was during Cats.
Yeah, but he showed up... I mean, she showed up during Hamilton.
Just to be clear, you guys, Giuseppe was not in the film Cats.
No.
He was not in that film. You were in the Broadway revival of Cats.
Yeah.
Which... How long was that on Broadway? It was...
Damn, it was only on Broadway for like a year and a half.
Which is crazy to me, because like the first time it was on Broadway was so long. It was in the Neil Simon, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Because I remember when they were putting up the marquee for like Mean Girls and stuff.
Mm.
It was across from you.
I absolutely freak out when it comes to singing harmonies. I hear someone sing a different note than me and I assume I'm wrong. I've always looked for a better way to train my ear and give myself more confidence in my harmony singing ability. Now I get to tell you about my new go-to app, Harmony Helper. Playbill features writer Ruthie Fireberg calls Harmony Helper a lifesaver for auditioning actors. BroadwayCon star and Harmony Helper artistic advisor Rob McClure has called the app a game-changer for the musical theater industry. Harmony Helper will help you develop the skills to harmonize using the newest tech available. With Harmony Helper, I can literally scan a sheet of music with the camera on my phone, and the app does some kind of witchcraft and maps out the harmony parts. It converts each line of music to audio, allows you to control the playback volume for custom control over your learning process, and then this is the crazy part. It provides real-time feedback to let you know if you're singing your part correctly. Take the rehearsal room into your own hands with Harmony Helper. Download it in the Apple App Store or Google Play Store.
What's your longest stint doing a show?
Hamilton, right?
Really?
Now is that's been what, almost 2 years now.
Wow.
Yeah, usually
not the same track though, right?
Billy Elliot. I stayed for 2.5 years. Not the same track, no. I was Samuel Sieber in Chicago, and then now I'm Charles Lee on Broadway.
Do you have like a Hamilton story where you like hurt yourself or might have hurt someone else or like just?
Endless stories from every Broadway show.
Oh, yeah?
Damn, at Cats, someone ran into my cavity and broke their nose. got a free nose job from it. Hamilton, I got a labral tear myself in my shoulder, from, you know, just working, and then other people just like, it's not an easy business. Like, you show up and you have to show up and show out 8 shows a week.
Yeah.
It's not you show up once and you're like sitting behind a desk and you get carpal tunnel. No. This is like, you miss a flip, you break your head.
Yeah.
You know,
it's constant thinking about like, okay, I can't do this to my body because then I won't be able to do it tomorrow.
Right. And it's live theater. It's live theater. This is crazy. I think the news reported on this at one point. Bette Midler, someone called the set cue wrong. And essentially the house underneath was like turning and then the set on top came down. And so it just hit like right on top, and Bette Midler was in the house that was like turning, and she just like heard everything crash on top of her and just like started running off stage, and she like fell on the stage, and it was just like a whole debacle. I was like, I was literally 2 feet away from her. It was insane. But you know, it's live theater, and that's literally a quote that I can take from Bette Midler on stage during the show. Not scripted. When you know, she would mess up sometimes, and that's okay, and that's incredible. And honestly, the audience loved it.
Yeah. I feel like they really kind of love that stuff.
Yeah, they love that. And she's just like, it's live theater, folks! You know, the crowd erupts and it's insane. Yeah. But, you know, people get hurt all the time and shit happens.
Yeah, you just gotta take care of yourself.
Yeah, you gotta take care of yourself. You gotta warm up. You gotta cool down. You gotta be an adult. You know, you gotta you gotta be conscious. You can't just show up to the theater expecting not to get hurt.
These are not things, by the way, that I think you... Because I didn't go, but correct me if I'm wrong, Damon. Like, I don't think that that's something that... Because I didn't go, but from what I understand, it's not something that they teach at musical theater school. Is, like, literally what you were just saying of, like, you physically cannot exert... Like, when you do your class showcase or you do, you know, 6 shows of something... And then you're like, I did it. You know, there's something so different of like, if this is your job, you are doing this maybe for 1,000 performances for some people. So like...
And it's actually really interesting you should bring that up, because I've had this conversation with my parents before. And my parents both come from the ballet world. And they were both like professional ballet dancers, and now they're both ballet teachers. But so they'll be calling me sometimes and they'll be like, Giuseppe, it's 12 o'clock. Why are you still asleep? And I'm like... Well, because I'm tired and I wanted to sleep. And then I'm going to go do my stuff. And they're like, oh, why, you know, why aren't you like doing this or why aren't you doing that? And I'm like, I'm doing 8 shows a week.
Yeah.
What you guys were used to and what I think the ballet world is used to is like doing 30 shows. Like that's a pack of shows that they do. And then they have like 2 to 3 months off. And not doing anything except for taking class, taking care of their body, you know, doing all that, rehearsing for a new show, whatnot. But this is like, you're consistently doing the same exact movement 8 shows a week. You sleep on one side consistently, you're going to get like a neck issue. You
know that's why one side of my face is not as droopy as the other. And famously, I stand on my left side in photographs. If you notice, like, this side looks great, Giuseppe. This side is like lower and sadder and perhaps should get work done. But like, anyways, my face is like meow on this side, and so I'll stand on the other. So what I'm trying to say is that we're the same, and
we're entirely the same.
Yeah, is that when I stand on the left side of a photograph, when you do 8 shows a week, it's the same.
It's absolutely the same thing.
But okay, so like, and again, not to say that I do exactly what you do, but I just did my play for like, I think, 5 performances, and I called Damon afterwards and I was like, I'm emotionally exhausted because I wasn't dancing in it, but it's like me talking for an hour. It's like it's a monologue. It's very emotional and funny and all this stuff. And I was like, it was really hard to do it back to back to back. I had 2 show days. I was freaking out because I had 2 shows in a day, and he goes, you know, that's like what I do.
Right. And it is so hard because you're like,
I didn't realize.
mentally trying to like prepare yourself before, mm-hmm. and then you have to cool down after the show and you have to like wind down.
Oh yeah.
Which for me takes a few hours.
And like, people always want to see you and then they want to like take pictures with you and then you got to sign autographs. That's part of your job.
And then you,
which is
and,
so
and then
nice.
You feel bad because like people are literally standing outside for like 30 minutes
waiting
in the freezing rain or cold or whatnot. And, mm-hmm. and you know, myself, I'm upstairs like taking my time, taking a shower and trying to wind down, stretching out, rolling out, and then I walk out the stage door and I'm like, oh shit, I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
You know, but.
No, but you don't have to be sorry. And I think that that's something that like people that stage door need to understand. It's like, mm-hmm. it's okay, you're taking care of yourself. That's literally like part of your job. So
right.
like, respect it. I get that you have to wait and you've paid a lot of money to see it, but it's gonna be fine. Like, they still care about you.
Mm-hmm.
You're not an asshole for taking a shower,
right.
you know?
Right.
But yeah, so it's just it's so much.
Yeah,
I'm exhausted.
Broadway's so hard.
Broadway's hard. That's a Josh Lehman quote from when he did my little vlog thing. Okay, so we've reached the end of the show where we play short story, and I know your face. Every time I say this, people go, "Oh, I don't know. It's a game. It's not. It's kind of like a improvised thing where
uh-huh.
I will shout out a word to you, and you will have 2 minutes to tell me a story that reminded you of whatever I said. So I could say green,
damn.
And you could literally be like, okay, so when I was growing up, da-da-da-da-da.
The green grass.
You don't have
nice.
To, you don't even have to say the word green. You don't have to, like, do any of that. It's
amazing.
Just kind
just
of
relate,
like a fun two-minute, yeah.
Beautiful.
And then you'll give me a word. So
oh,
I can
great.
Go first, or you...
2 whole minutes?
2 whole minutes.
I have to talk for 2 minutes?
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. Do you want to go first?
Yeah.
For sure. Oh, you're so game for anything. Okay. Actually, your word is green.
Damn. Green. this is so much harder than I expected. Actually.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. I was a kid at one point, of course, and I was on a field trip with my whole class in Switzerland, and I was like 9 years old, maybe. I went all the way to the top of a mountain, and I don't remember the name of the mountain, but it was so stunning because everything around me looked like a painting, and you just had the grass, which is...
green.
Thank you. You had the grass and you had the cows on the grass and they were eating. It was just like, it was so stunning, like the whole atmosphere of it. The sky was like clear blue sky. It was sunny. Just seeing everything like that was absolutely amazing and insane. And I love Switzerland and it's beautiful.
Oh, you did it. Yay.
Yeah.
That's beautiful. I really
good.
Like that. Okay. So do you have a word in mind for me?
Grace.
Uh-huh.
Your word is
uh-huh.
hoops.
Hoops? Okay, so famously, I cannot play basketball. Okay, so there's a video of me playing basketball. I was trying really, really hard to, like, oh my God, daddy problems. Just really wanted him to love me, and he was the basketball coach. And so he was, I know, it was like middle, I think I was in elementary school, and there is no shit. You look at me now, and you're like, even imagining me with a basketball is fucking funny because you're like, oh, so you think you're Space Jam. Cute, cute, cute. No, no, no. I literally, my best friend Molly was like an amazing like athlete and we're like 7 years old and we're playing this basketball game and I'm going to physically do this for you and describe it at the same time because you deserve to see this. I have the ball and a girl looks at me in the middle of this game and I'm like, oh my God, I have the ball. It's a big deal. I know, I know. I'm like dribble, dribble, drabbling because I'm so short and everybody's so much bigger than me, even at 7. And I grab the ball and I start like, do you know the Office episode where Stanley's dribbling the ball and he's like pushing the other people away? Like the saddest last draft pick of whatever the sport is.
Just hitting with the palms of the hand.
Truly, but I'm like, I'm dribbling 2 hands directly in front of me like I'm having a baby. And I'm literally like, trying so hard and I'm like pushing and pushing and pushing it and then she goes, hey, I'll give you $1 if you give me that ball. And I am a true capitalist and I was like, oh, for sure, this is the best business plan I've heard in years. I'm 7 years old and I throw her the ball. They score. Is it scoring? I don't know. She makes a basket hoop and then she wins the game and my dad looks at me so sad. He goes, why would you pass? The other team, this is, by the way, church league bullshit rec league.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I had the championship in the palm of my hands. Like, I was literally so stressed about it.
Damn.
And he was like, you let me down. And that's, you know, where I get a lot of it. He's dead now, so it's whatever. But how much time do I have? Okay. And that's the end of my story. Oops.
Amazing.
Oops.
Hoops. Dribbling them hoops.
Oh, God. Well, thank you so much, Giuseppe, for coming.
Absolutely.
You're fantastic. I will always root for you. Every time you book a show, we try to at least just be there because you're so good at what you do. And whatever you do next, tell the world what you want to do next.
Oh man, I wanna direct and cinematography and you know all that.
That's, you wanna create.
I wanna create. I'm ready to create, and I think this is like a thing that I've been starting to figure out since I would turn like 19, 20. I was like, what is my passion? What do I wanna do? Yeah. So you know.
So you're gonna do that.
That's what I'm hoping. Yeah.
So we're gonna link everybody to all your stuff so that they can passionately follow all your stuff.
Hit me up.
Hit him up, but don't be weird.
Okay. Don't. Yeah. I mean, you know.
Don't put it in me.
Don't put it in me.
And one time.
There's more to the story.
The kind of story we need right now.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org, because only together we rise.